that, and I found a great way to where I can help educate entrepreneurs how money works in business to grow, scale, make sure they're paying themselves first, etc. And as the spicy CEO, I like to bring a little more sass and spicy twist to the conversation, because money can be a very taboo topic and a lot of people are not as open to talking about it.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline, or Jax Kreider. And today we have Miss Jen Perez on with us. Jen and I have known each other for quite some time from different kinds of organizations and networking. And the one thing she and I for sure have in common is we are both very passionate ladies about money. And so I am super excited to have her on the show today. So welcome, Jen. Tell us a little bit about you, your business, and what you're excited to talk about today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm always excited to have a conversation about money. But honestly, I'm Jen Perez. I'm the spicy CEO. I'm a profit strategist. And so I'm also a speaker and an author. I'll talk about the book a little later. But honestly, I started off as like a personal financial coach. My background's in accounting, and people started realizing that. And I found a great way to where I can help educate entrepreneurs how money works in business to grow, scale, make sure they're paying themselves first, et cetera. And making sure that, okay, you have to know what you need to make personally too to support your lifestyle. And let's reverse engineer that back into the business so that your business supports your lifestyle, not the other way around. That's really what I focus on. And as the spicy CEO, I like to bring a little more sass and spicy twist to the conversation, because money can be a very taboo topic and a lot of people are not as open to talking about it. And I get that. We've all made mistakes. We've all been there before. You know, it's like we've been through there. We've seen it, and we just, there's no judgment here. And so I just like have a little bit more fun with it than maybe your stereotypical like financial advisor or something.
Yeah, no, I love that. Well, and I mean, one thing that I talk about a lot on the podcast and all my listeners kind of know is a lot about, you know, alignment and intention. And I think you and I are very aligned on that thought process, right? Of like, hey, you know, yeah, you can't really create a path. Like you can't really know, just get to the life you want to be if you're not doing what you said, right? Like if we're not working backwards, if we're not thinking it all the way through and kind of laying out some intentional steps, like it's super hard to just go from, you know, over here, the idea of where I'd like to be, to over here, the actuality, right? And so it's super important to do that. And I think that's where you and I have always been super aligned and always had great conversation. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to kind of dive into this conversation. And I know that we're going to talk mainly from more of an entrepreneurial-ish aspect. But, you know, as with anything, just because it relates to the business side doesn't mean that if you are a, you know, wage earner or somebody who works, you know, for somebody, that you can't use these exact same steps and tactics and thought processes in your own life. So don't say, well, this isn't the episode for me. I promise. And I firmly believe everybody has a little entrepreneur like stuck down in their soul somewhere, if they're really honest with themselves. So hopefully this is going to kind of frame up some of that conversation. Oh, yeah. What do you think first step should be on this path, I guess, if you will?
So you're right in that, I mean, yes, entrepreneurs, they also have personal finances, right? So they do need to understand that. I think two of the biggest problems I see is that they don't know their numbers, and that could be business or personal.
For sure.
And you really need to understand that, because I actually had a colleague this morning use this, and I love how she put it. You can be high class broke, meaning you could be making millions of dollars and still be paycheck to paycheck.
100%.
And whether that's business or personal doesn't really matter, but it's if you understand the money that you're bringing home, if you understand the money in your business, you're able to make better decisions. Yes, I believe in a budget, spending plan, whatever you want to call that, both in personal and business, but you need to understand that, because otherwise that's how you get into that paycheck to paycheck. And I think it's like 83% of business owners operate that way. And honestly, it's probably very comparable in the personal too. So a lot of the things you learn in how money works or how to budget, things like that, can work in both sides of the spectrum there.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, so obviously being in the mortgage space, we see a lot of people's finances from people who make, you know, not a lot of money to all the way making like serious, serious money. And one thing you find is that, yeah, just because you make a lot of money doesn't necessarily mean you understand or intentional about how you're spending it, you know, how you're handling it, and et cetera. So I don't disagree with you that I think awareness is a huge piece of this puzzle, right? Like you can't really start like yes, we can have an intention to be a certain way or how we want things to look, but if we're not kind of peeling back and doing some of the stuff that maybe some people consider not very fun, right? Like looking at some of those numbers, even and I personally believe, and maybe you disagree with me, but a lot of times people don't want to look at the numbers. I think them not being the most fun is part of it, but I think a lot of it really is more deeply rooted in a shame factor. They feel like that if they take a look at it, number one, they don't understand, right? Like, so there's a shame factor of like, I don't get it. Like, it's great, Jen, you and Jax, like, y'all understand money. Like, you guys work in it all the time. So, of course, you know what the heck the deal is. But I don't know that. And I hear the excuse all the time. Well, I'm not good at math. And I'm like, guys, good at math doesn't really have anything to do with it. I'm pretty sure we've got computers, we've got cell phones, we've got apps. Like, all the math can be majorly pulled down, right? Like, it doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to be that complicated. You just have to be willing, like Jen said, to kind of step back and be like, hey, what is this? Like, what's the situation? Because if you don't have that awareness, you're just going to keep rowing the boat in a circle and not really moving anywhere.
Yep. And I mean, you mentioned earlier about how, well, we know it. Well, guess what? I didn't used to. Growing up, in fact, sex was more of an open topic than money was. So, and that's one reason I wrote my book called 69 Ways Money is Like Sex. Because they're both taboo topics. People don't want to talk about. They're uncomfortable around it. And if you don't mind me bringing some of the spiciness to the conversation, I kind of like this analogy a friend told me. She's like, you're like going to a gynecologist for the first time. It's all those emotions, the unknown. Are they going to judge me? Are they going to see what's behind closed doors? Right. So there's a lot of emotion around money. In fact, even people in the financial industry, we have coaches or experts to help us because there's so much emotion behind money. I personally had filed bankruptcy in 2013 because nobody taught me. And it wasn't until that happened that I was like, well, I got to get my act together and figure out how does money work, because obviously whatever I've been doing wasn't working. So that's part of my story as to why I now do what I do, because I didn't want that to ever happen again.
Yep.
And even going back even further, my dad lost our family house on 40 acres because he didn't understand money. Nobody taught him. So if nobody's teaching you and you don't know what you don't know, that's okay, because we've all been there at some point. Not everybody was born with an entrepreneurial family. Not everybody was born with money, or everything's different. And so I don't know why I decided to take the drive and not be okay. Some people I see are okay with certain lifestyles. And for example, I'm not going to mention who, but I had someone and they said, well, I lived on welfare my whole life. What's the difference? And that hurts. It's hard for me to hear that, because I know there's so much more that that person can do. So while yes, we might be more experts now, we weren't, you know, when we were born, we didn't know it. Throughout life, things happen. Sometimes it's our mistakes that also helped us learn better to be able to further educate everybody else.
Well, sometimes, I mean, I say all the time, like, so my personal financial house right now is a little bit of a hot mess because of some risk choices and some things that my husband and I made, as well as just lifing, like some things that were outside of our control. So I think so often, like, I have a lot of people that are like, wow, you're going to talk about your personal stuff. And I'm like, why? I mean, yeah, it doesn't make me feel good. Like, I don't love that, especially knowing as much as I know about money. But the truth is that some of the most successful people in life, like, had situations and scenarios happen. And a lot of it has more to do with how you're looking at it, the awareness you're taking, how are you, you know, changing that story and that narrative. And so, yeah, like, there's definitely days I'm beating myself up and I feel like a fraud and I don't feel like I deserve a seat at the table, but that's all crap, right? I mean, I have the information, I have the ability, and it makes me be able to be even a better educator, because I know exactly the shoes that some of the listeners are sitting in. And that they're like, well, I can't do this. You know, I'm here to tell you, you absolutely can. You just need intention and education. And that's exactly what Jen and I are looking to provide you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something too that you don't have to go and tell the world, hey, this is how much money I make, or this is, I filed bankruptcy yesterday, or you don't have to tell the world, but you do need to have someone talk to your partner, your spouse. Talk to your financial coach or your advisor. you know, you're buying a house, talk to Jax about this stuff, because she's the expert in that to be able to help further educate you on what you can do to get that house you were hoping to buy. So
for sure,
you just have to be open to that, build the trust, you know, do it just not some random stranger, but build trust with that person. And then you have to be open with them, because if you start hiding some things, the whole reason we want to know all the details is so we can better help you. Because for sure, if we don't know everything and, oh, you forgot to tell us about that one huge thing, well, we could have been doing something along the way to help make it, you know, that thing go away or take care of that debt or whatever the issue is. And maybe it's not even an issue and you thought it was. Maybe that's really not as big of a deal based on what your goals are. And we could still be taking care of things on the side while focusing on more something that's more of a priority.
Absolutely. No, for sure. I mean, I think that's also why you and I both wrote books, right? Mine is Mortgage 101, The Secret Sauce of Home Buying. Yours, you know, is the 69 ways that sex and money are similar or whatever. I forget. Yeah. I'm botching the
money
title.
Is like sex. Yeah.
But basically, why do we write these books? Well, because we are going to try to help bridge some of that gap, give you some of that education, help you or whatever, right? And you can educate yourself a little bit so you don't feel like you're so whatever, or you can just make sure you find really great experts and step in and look to their area of expertise. And again, any of the experts that are worth their salt, in my opinion, they are educating. They are looking to give you solid, good information, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, you're right. You don't have to put on social media that yesterday I filed bankruptcy, but you do have to be able to bare your soul a little bit to some of these experts that you're picking and choosing to be in your corner, right? That you're choosing to be in alignment with so that they can help you bridge the gap. And I hear a lot from people, well, I can't do that. I don't have the money. I don't have the ability or whatever. The truth is, you are living in a time where there is more free education or low cost expertise than like has ever been in all of history, right? And so that excuse, in my opinion, is by the wayside. You have the ability, right? And so when we're pulling back the curtain, and I want you, Jen, to kind of go into what you feel like are, you know, the appropriate steps to kind of go walk through this process, but just understand that you have that capability. You have that ability, right? You have podcasts like this. And I always say all the time, if I'm not the cup of tea, if I'm not who you're resonating with, like, that's okay. I'm not supposed to be everybody's cup of tea. Right. I'm clearly not. And that's that, again, that is a-okay. Yeah. So we can definitely get into it. Jen, you could tell us, I know that we're talking mainly from the entrepreneurial perspective, but understanding kind of where this, how this lays out.
Message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your home ownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
So one of the things a lot of people don't understand, like I have the financial background and I'm what you call an oxymoron. I'm like an outgoing accountant. You think accountants, they're CPAs, they're all like just they're introverts. They're at a computer all the time. That drives me nuts. So honestly, though, you don't have to be the expert in finances to understand money in business or understand money in personal, but you do need to be tracking your numbers. You need to have somebody doing your bookkeeping, whether preferably outsourcing that to someone or yourself if you feel confident enough to do that. But you need to be tracking those numbers. You need to be tracking KPIs, which are also known as key performance indicators. And all that really is tracking to make sure, okay, you have this goal and you're tracking the numbers, but are you on track to help reach that goal? And if you are, great. If you're not, what can you do to improve, et cetera? So there's a lot behind running a business. I mean, I started off as a bookkeeper, wearing all the 14 hats. And I've since grown to where I really focus on doing what I love to do. I have a bookkeeping firm where I have a team of bookkeepers. So I don't really do the bookkeeping anymore, because I like being the face of the company. I love educating and helping people thrive. So I've been able to make that transition. Now, when you get to understand your numbers, a lot of times what happens is they might understand financial statements, which are like your balance sheet, your profit and loss statement or income statement, and you need those for tax purposes as well. But they look at that and they're like, oh, great, I made a profit. And then they look at their bank account and they say, well, wait a second, I made profit. How come there's nothing left in the bank? And they don't quite understand the difference in that. If I made profit, how come the money's not there? That's cash flow. That's money coming in and money going out. The financial statements all for accounting purposes, not cash flow purposes. Right. So having a better understanding of that and having systems such as Profit First, there's a book called Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. We are a certified Profit First professional firm. It's really a great way to implement multiple bank accounts for your business, so that each bank account has a purpose. One is to pay taxes, or one's to profit, one's to pay yourself first. You know, and there's more that goes into that. I don't want to dive too deep into that. And I actually heard Mike's writing a book on personal finance too, so I'm excited when that comes out.
Well, that's awesome.
There's like a little chapter in Profit First about personal. So I've done that on the personal side as well, where I have the multiple bank accounts. And here's the thing, it helped me one time when all of a sudden a vendor that I was supposed to make a large payment for, we changed the date to the 20th, but they forgot to, from the 5th, they forgot to change it on their end.
And they drafted it.
And it was like $10,000. Like, it was not a small number.
Yeah, not a little bit of money, yeah.
And that was my whole bank account. Like, not available. I couldn't get food. I couldn't get gas, nothing, like necessities.
Well, now, for a lot of people, it would have totally overdrafted them, right? Like, beyond.
Yeah. We didn't have $10,000 just sitting in the bank. So, in that bank account. And so, if you have the multiple bank accounts, or if I've had fraud in business even, it sucks. And yes, you have to go through that. But what's awesome is that I had an emergency fund, both business and personal, each have their own. And I had multiple bank accounts that I can reroute. Okay, until that fraud issue gets resolved or the $10,000 gets resolved, like I still have money, right? And that actually happened like a month ago. It was my payroll bank account. And they took almost everything, but I think like $35. And I was like, I kind of need to process payroll. So fortunately, I had money in other bank accounts and I had an emergency fund in business that I was able to temporarily move money until the bank replenished that fraud amount so that I can make sure to cover payroll on time. So sometimes, and that's kind of what we call bank balance accounting. And you do it in personal too. You're like, oh, well, how much money do I have to spend? You're going to grab your cell phone and you're going to look and see how much do I have in my bank account? And that's how much you have to spend. But are you factoring in paying yourself or saving, making sure you have money left over, make sure that you have money set aside for the things you want to enjoy a life, or in business, you want to hire someone, you want a certain marketing opportunity. There's just so much beyond that. And that's why I call myself a profit strategist, because it's everything that affects that bottom line and helping you increase that profitability so that you can do what you love to do and take that profit. And there's so much more that you can do with that in personal and business.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think there are so many people that they are afraid. Like I always recommend to people, because, you know, we see it, they want to buy a mortgage or buy a house. They need a mortgage. This is obviously a really big debt decision as well as financial decision that they're making. And I'm always asking them questions to try to figure out, okay, like, are we in a solid place, you know, so that we're not setting them up for failure. The last thing I want to do is be saddling them with the largest debt that they're ever going to hold. And then, oof, like that, you know what I mean? That didn't work. Because now we're so strapped. And I encourage people in a weird way to almost not hide money from themselves, but yes, right? Like the emergency stuff, or if we're saving for something big, put it in an account that you don't really see. So yeah, yep. I mean, you know, it exists on its face, but it's not in your face every time you open up your phone, right? And in a lot of ways, a lot of times I actually encourage people to put in an account where they can't get it immediately, right? Yep. Like it's harder to get their hands on, because it is, like, it's about being diligent, about understanding where your numbers are at, and hey, you know, these are the things that I need to plan for in business and in life, right? Like in personal stuff too. Because yes, other thing from the legal aspect, I don't know, Jen, if you know, I have a law degree. The legal aspect, you have to be very careful in business about keeping money separate, because if you slosh it in and out of personal versus business accounts, not only is this a problem if you have like a corporation, but it also can be a problem with the IRS. There's like some tax implications that could come from it and things like that. So you definitely have to be very diligent about how you're setting up all of these things on the front end, because if you don't, you can create some pretty significant challenge for yourself. And it's easier to do than you think. I mean, even I don't always do it perfectly, and I have to go back and remind myself, because mortgage runs really weird with like the way that it's like I am an entity, but then I'm 1099 through another entity. Like there's like a lot of like weird tax nuance structure and whatnot. And this is where hiring experts comes in, because even I know a lot of information, and even I not only don't want to figure all that out, but like it's just a lot to manhandle and manage all the time, right? And so if you're starting a business, I highly encourage you to get the right people on your side up front, so that, you know, get the gens of the world, so that you're not like on the back end when you're starting to really make bank and really get, you know, in a really great place with your finances, that now it is a utter disaster.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually what I call step zero. So I have certain steps I take my clients through, but step zero is let's stop commingling, is what we call it, the bank accounts. So if you're putting all of your personal money and your business money in or out of the same bank account, that's what's called commingling. There are so many reasons why that's a no-no. So, and it can be something as simple, and just because whether you're a sole proprietor or you're an S corp or any of those. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, that's okay. But no matter where you're at in that, your business needs to be business and your personal needs to be personal. And when I say pay yourself from your business, that means take money out of your business account and transfer it to your personal, or pay yourself, you know, payroll to personal or whatever that is. Because A, if you're running a business and not a hobby, you need to know your numbers. And it's a lot easier when you know everything in this account is for business. Personal is over here, so that you're not confused by, wait, was that for personal or business, right? Tax time, it's a lot easier. If you were to be audited, that's going to be a huge mess. But ultimately, if you want to grow your business, you need to have them separate. Now, I don't necessarily say you have to have a business checking account. It can be a personal checking account that is just solely used for business. just if you like, I love my bank and they don't have business accounts, for example, or there's a $3,500 minimum fee. I don't recommend those unless there's certain situations, but if you have that, that's fine. As long as you know that, same thing with credit cards. As long as you know that card is 100% for business and these are for personal or whatever, that's okay too.
Yeah,
you just have to be
clean.
Consistent.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and I mean, I will tell you from my personal vantage point, from a legal perspective, I highly recommend you have a business banking account, whether you're sole proprietor or 1099, whatever, right? Yes, some of them will require you to have some paperwork and like entity paperwork, but a lot of local banks like will allow you to do those accounts and not pay much of a fee. Yeah, you usually want to keep a certain amount in there, but if you don't, the fee is not astronomical. It's like 10, 15 bucks a month. Yeah. It's not anything crazy, but it does make things a lot cleaner. Yeah. And like I said, one of the biggest things, if for those of you listening from a legal perspective, if you are a sole proprietor, I highly recommend you do some kind of a more definitive structure, just because for tax reasons and for legal reasons, it can really help you, like especially on the liability side. And you don't think about these things always when it comes to starting a business, running a business, but it can be incredibly important and really interesting to learn about them, because there is so many tax breaks that come to having a business versus just like on the personal side. And so I highly recommend that people at least look into it. Maybe you're not there yet when you are at step zero. Maybe you're not like, you know, hey, we're just trying to dabble. Maybe it is more like a hobby. We're just trying to figure it out. And that's okay. But I do definitely recommend that people step back and at least put it on their radar of maybe their intention of getting to that place, because there's so many good online platforms that can help you create the entity. It's not really very expensive, and all these different things. And there is a huge amount of tax benefit and a shelter and liability shield that comes from having a separate entity.
Yeah. And there's, when it comes to banks, we actually have a list of what we call profit first friendly banks, one of which is called Relay. So if you go to thespicyceo.com/relay, takes you directly there. But it's an online bank. And so if you deal with a lot of cash, the turnaround, the thing is you find someone local to deposit the cash and then move the cash to that bank. But you can have up to 20 bank accounts for free, no minimum, you know, no fees, free ACH payments. So I pay vendors and contractors ACH. They get paid within 1 to 3 days of when I send that payment. So there's just so much that you can do with that. And they have savings accounts. So they're growing in it, and you can automate things and by percentages or dollar amounts. I like to work with percentages because it just, every season's got, you know, a roller coaster.
And
you need to make sure that follows that. But that, I have moved a lot of my banking to them because of the simplicity and the, you know, no fees and no minimums, things like that help. But one of the things that you can do too is you're talking about all these bank accounts. So I'm so lost. What do I do? To be honest, something really simple. And you can do this in both business and personal. You have your main bank account, assuming you've already separated them, right? You have your business, you have your personal. Get one more bank account, nickname it profit, and then start allocating 1%. That's it, just 1%. If you have not already been doing this, if you make $1,000, well, guess what? That's $10. That's not much, right? $10 goes into that profit account. And then what happens is in business, as that grows at the end of the quarter, half of what you've built into that profit bank account stays to start building that emergency fund. And if you already have that, there's a lot more that you can do with it. The other half actually goes to you as a profit distribution. And the thing is, it's not to go pay the bills or to pay off debt. It's to reward yourself, at least one time a year. You do so much in business, like you deserve to get paid and get paid well. And it's nice to kind of throw in those bonuses here. So that's on the business side. And then the personal, you can do the exact same thing. And maybe it is half of it goes to the emergency fund and half of it is to pay down debt or go have fun, go on vacation, right? So it could be the same thing. So it's just taking that one simple step. 1% is not going to hurt the bank. Now, I will be honest, I have had a client before who made over $1 million a year saying, I can't do 1% because they were overspending. And so if you're in that position when you're really like, I really don't have any money to do it, do 0.5%. Because here's the thing, if you don't start now, at least that small little bit, you're just going to keep staying in that same cycle and you're never going to get out of it. But if you start doing that, and if you can put that second bank out of sight, out of mind, like hide it in your bank account or things like that, all of a sudden the end of the quarter comes, you're like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I got a few extra $100 or whatever it is in there to start with, right? I'm going to be honest, the first time I did this, I had just enough in there to get an ice cream cone. It was not much, but yeah, I love ice cream. I will never turn down ice cream. And so for me, I was rewarding myself. And so you have to start small and take baby steps. Don't jump, hey, I'm going to start doing 10% unless you've already been doing it. Because then where's that 10% going to come? Bills that you were paying, debt you were paying off, fun activities for you and your team or your family, right? So you need to take baby steps, and every quarter you can increase it, but little by little.
Well, I was going to say, I will say that I'm definitely more the visionary, and I don't always like to think about the baby steps, but I have been reading the book Atomic Habits. And one of the things that he talks about, like, so sufficiently is, like, you know, that you do have to take these little tiny aligned steps, and that this giant progress doesn't happen by, like, oh, you woke up one morning and, like, boom, like, you did this big thing. It happened by, like, hey, you did this little step and you did it every day and you did it and you did it and you did it. And then, like, you see these giant results. And I have to remind myself of that, because sometimes, especially if you're an entrepreneur or a dreamer, right? Or like me, ADHD, and you're kind of like, you get a little off in the weeds, and you tell yourself, like, oh, tomorrow, you know, I'm gonna have billions of dollars in my bank and everything's gonna be beautiful and sunshines and rainbows. And the truth is it is the 1%. It's the little aligned steps that you take day after day and time after time. And hey, I want to make a difference in my life. I mean, it's no different than what I tell people when they get themselves into debt or whatever. And why did they get themselves into debt? Because they weren't doing stuff like that, right? They weren't doing this little, like, pushing off. And so we live in a world where instant gratification is, like, you know, the highlight. But the truth is there's a couple of pieces here. So number one, usually instant gratification may mean you're giving up something, like you're taking out debt and now you're putting yourself in a more strict or stressful position or whatever, right? If it's not an aligned decision that you're making, or if it's something that is a consumer debt that maybe you shouldn't have or shouldn't need, right? And then the other challenge that you run into is there is something about, like, you were talking about you didn't have a lot of money. It was basically enough to buy yourself an ice cream cone. But I guarantee you that ice cream tasted great. Like, right? Like, oh, yeah. Because you knew that ice cream was, like, the reward of, like, what you did well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you earned the ice cream cone. You did all of the steps. And it's interesting, and this is really not necessarily directly related to what we were talking about, but it made me think about it. I've found that one of the reasons that I feel like we are significantly doing our children a disservice, and the reason that we're coming up with some of the mental health challenges and some of the financial challenges that some of our now young adults are encountering, is because we have handed them everything. We haven't forced them to take these small little baby aligned steps. And now, because it has been instant gratification, number one, they don't have a lot of self-esteem, because you build self-esteem from these little baby aligned steps. And number two, they're used to just, I want, I get. Right? Like, I wanted the thing and I got it. And now I'm in adulthood and no one is coming to do that for me anymore. Yeah. Right? And so it's super important for us to teach ourselves that diligence, even when it's not fun and even when it's not comfortable. And even when it means we might only get an ice cream cone at the end of the quarter, whatever it is. But I promise, if you are taking the aligned steps, the ice cream is going to taste oh so sweet. It's going to taste even better than you could ever imagine.
Yeah. And I think I'll never forget, there's times, especially as a parent, motherhood never came naturally to me. And my mom had, I asked her some questions. She's a nurse too, so that kind of helps. But I've asked her some things. I'm like, well, how come, like, you never taught me about this? And she's like, because I didn't know either, because my mom never taught me, you know? So you don't know what you don't know, but getting around people, being okay, asking people for help is okay. And even if it's on the money side or the debt side, or if you don't know, just find someone, and then they might not know, but they might know someone that does. They might be like, yeah, I kind of know, I'm not quite the expert. But you should go talk to Jax or Jen, I think that's the thing. You just have to be vulnerable, especially nowadays when we're recording this. I feel like now more than ever, we all need support. We need each other.
For sure.
And you need to build those relationships to help you get through whatever you're going through in life. You mentioned mental health, which is on a high right now, right? There's just so much behind that. You need to find a community. Doesn't have to be big, but you need to find that support team to help you in life in general, not just the money side, but in life in general, because it all affects everything, right? I don't know if you've ever seen that wheel of life, and there's like eight different things. You have like health and family and career and et cetera. And so sometimes when you work on one area of it, it helps the other areas too.
Oh, for sure.
So yeah.
Well, I firmly believe that they're all really, really heavily interlinked. And yeah. Part of the reason that I'm so like literally the whole principle behind Financial Mastery Simplified is your life, your terms, is I feel like that so often everybody feels like they need to follow whatever rules everybody was created for them, right? Like, so it's like, yeah. Oh, well, society said this, I need to do that. Or my mom said this and I need to do that. And they're never stepping back and asking themselves, like, does this truly align? Like some of the things that you're discussing that we're discussing here, they may not always be the most comfortable things and they may not always feel like super great to be like, oh, I have to figure this freaking crap out and whatever. But there is such a sense of accomplishment. And if you are doing what your intention is, right? What your alignment is, even the uncomfortable things you will go forth and do because that is in alignment. When you're coming up with just resistance after resistance, and I don't mean resistance like, yeah, like of course you have resistance when you have uncomfortableness, right? So like, you're like, oh, Jen, I don't know how to do this. And like, this is, you know, you're getting some resistance because you're like, ugh, I have to learn this thing. I don't mean that. I mean, you feel like you're walking down a path that doesn't belong to you, that doesn't fulfill the desires of your heart, your intended purpose on this planet, right? Whether you believe in God, spirit, like whatever path that looks like for you. I think part of the problem that we've run into just in general is, think about it. Years and years and years ago, like our ancestors, like our parents and our grandparents, like they were having to live in a place of survival. They were having to live in like whatever, you know, there wasn't 8 jillion choices. Like it was kind of limited. Right. I mean, so that was the option. That is not the case anymore. I mean, heck, when you and I were kids, you could make money by playing video games. Like that wasn't a thing. Like, or if it was, it was so limited, like one person out of the whole world got to do it. And you know what I mean? Like, so that really wasn't like a thing. And now, I mean, you've got kids making crap tons of money playing video games. You know, you have people selling products from all over the world, drop shipping. I mean, there is so much potential and so much ability. And you have to step back and be like, okay, is this going to align? And yeah, you're going to have to figure out some hard things along the way. And you're going to have to do a lot of the things that Jen is saying, you know, to do these things, separate these accounts and take all these hard steps. But the truth of the matter is, if you're in alignment with your purpose and like where, what the path is supposed to look like, I promise those little aligned steps will feel like victories if you allow them to. You allow them to be like, holy cow, right? I mean, think about it. Like you're able to say, I was bankrupt and I didn't know what the hell I was doing, right? Yep. And now not only did I pull myself out of this place, this awful, like uncomfortable, not fun, you know, what society considers horrible, which is ridiculous, by the way, but anyway, place. And now to this amazing, like I'm teaching people, I'm showing them or whatever, like you took that pain and you made it your purpose. And like so many people out there who are listening to this, like that is the case, right? And that's why we want to help the entrepreneur or the person who maybe is thinking about leaving corporate America because they have a different purpose or whatever the case may be. There's just so much beauty in this alignment. You just have to step into it. And you can't be afraid to say, okay, I don't know. Like I literally, the next book that will be published, I think like springtime next year that I wrote is called Ask the Question. And the reason it's called Ask the Question is it's about intellectual curiosity and it being a superpower. And it is. But you first have to convince yourself to do it, to like step into that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's something that it's funny you bring this up because, well, the whole book process, that's like another whole thing, writing a book.
It is.
I actually left corporate world a little over 3 years ago. And when I left, I was given an opportunity. The money was right to where, okay, I felt comfortable financially making this leap. But I was also 3 months pregnant. My husband works W-2 and he did not have health insurance options for spouses. And I was leaving a really good, very good job, very good benefits, et cetera. And we had some chunk of money set aside that at that exact same time we were investing in short-term rentals. And that was supposed to help with the cash flow of things. Well, unfortunately, that short-term rental, that's a whole nother story, but we lost $30,000.
Oof.
And so jumping ship to go full-time business owner,
yeah,
while investing and losing that big a chunk of change that was supposed to actually cash flow, give you more money every month, and instead just took it all, you know, was tough on top of having a baby.
Yeah.
And it was not as simple. My first one was a lot more simple. This one was not as simple of a pregnancy. So going through life, even it, we all have these hiccups and things that happen. And sometimes it just, you're like, okay, it just keeps going down, down, down. Trust me, the one thing I will say that I have to be honest, remind myself some days, but never quit. Do not give up. If you are doing what you love and you're passionate about it, and you're able to make a larger impact in the people in the world because of your experience, because of your mistakes that you made, right?
For sure.
Then keep doing that and don't quit, because there's, I don't know if you've heard, there's that book, 3 Feet from Gold. And it's basically saying that if you could, like this guy was digging for gold and he was like, oh, I give up. So he quit. And someone else took over that area 3 feet later, cha-ching, he found the gold. So you just never know that next day and that next day, that next day, and keep going. And to be honest, I have been in business for over 9 years now. I've had a lot of change since then in transitions and whatnot, but it wasn't until this year that I wrote a book that I rebranded as the Spicy CEO. And I'm Jen Perez. Like, this is me, deal with it. If you don't like me, that's okay. We can still be friends. It helped me, right? And it helped me. You're going to grow. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to learn what fits you. And that's okay to make those, because all of those failures you've had, all those mistakes you've had, are only making you stronger, helping you clarify what you don't want to do or don't enjoy doing. And so when you're taking all of that too, and there's a lot of mental that goes with that too. And that's okay. So have someone to talk to if you need it. But I know we kind of veered off of the money side of that, but just saying that things can happen, life happens, have that support, make sure that you understand the numbers, there's so many times I tell people, well, how much do you want to make? Oh, $100,000 or $1 million or $500,000. Okay, how'd you come up with that? Well, sounds nice. Okay, your $100,000 to somebody else's million could make the same profit.
Absolutely.
So what does that look like to you? What does that life look like? And I'm not going to go into, do a vision board and stuff. And that does work for some people. For me, I'm very driven and motivated, and I'm a get her done type of girl. So while I have those things, I have a lot of very high dreams, and I'm driven to make those happen. I'm more of a shoot for the stars and land on the moon type of person. Not everybody is, and that's okay too. But when you have clarity around things, another thought just randomly popped in is we've talked about debt. Debt is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's
as long as you're not going into debt because you can't afford something.
True.
There's ways to leverage your debt and use it to invest in yourself or into business or things that will bring ROI back into your life. And that's okay. But as long as there's a plan in place on how that's being handled, not just, I want to go do this marketing opportunity, but I don't have $10,000. So I'm just going to go put it on a credit card that I don't even know if I can afford the minimum. You can't afford it, don't do it. You can always do it next year or something. Or hey, go make some more sales. Figure a way to get that money, right? So there's Absolutely. A lot of things around it. But just debt is not a bad word. I think a lot of people, and some people might disagree with me, but I personally don't believe it's a bad word. If it's used properly
either.
And responsibly.
I was going to say, I always talk about how I'm the antithesis of Dave Ramsey. I think that some of the things as concepts are good. And they're not negative, and they definitely can work. But I also don't think debt is the enemy. I think Right. You just have to leverage it appropriately. And like you said, be diligent in how you use it. And give yourself grace, because sometimes you're not going to use it right. You're going to mess it up, and it's going to put you in a spot where maybe you didn't want to be, right? It's all about, though, like, did you make the mistake and learn from it? Are we continuing to make the same situation over and over again? Like, what is that?
Right. What
does that really look like? And I think, you know, just ultimately out of this conversation, I would say that, yes, it doesn't necessarily seem like we've been talking about money the whole time, but we have, because I think so much of our self-worth, so much of how we view the world, so much of how we view a lot of things is through the lens of money, because especially living in America, very capitalistic, very, you know, money-driven society, which a lot of people think that's a bad thing too. I disagree. I don't think it's bad. I think, again, you just have to understand the perspective in which you're working and what you're looking at. So it's super important just to keep that in mind and that frame of mind. And this has been like such a great conversation, just not only about the steps you start to take as you are stepping away, you know, you're setting apart your business, you're even setting apart your personal stuff or whatever, considering stepping into entrepreneurship and all of the things, but also reminding yourself to give grace, to come into alignment, to make sure that all the things, which you're absolutely right, you do have to have a plan in place. And the plan could shift and the plan could change, but if your absence a plan, then it's going to be a little hard to just fall into where you want to go. Lots of reasons for that. But yes, now I know that you have something that I think, at least for the entrepreneurs that are listening, you have as far as an offer goes. So I'll let you, you know, say that and we'll wrap us up.
Yeah, sure. So I have created a checklist, a Spicy CEO checklist, and it's top 10 profit killing habits that you need to break before burnout. Because a lot of times we hustle, we do all of this, and we're like, we have nothing to show for it, and we don't understand why. And these are some of the more common things that people are doing in business that you need to, probably should be more aware of. So if that's something you're interested in, there's two ways to get it. A, you can text the word spicy to 469-829-7697. Again, that's 469-829-7697. And then again, you'll text the word spicy, or you can go to the website. So whichever you prefer, checklist.thespicyceo.com/Jax-Kreider. And then that way it's specific to you guys. It's something I wanted to gift you and your followers. And we'll put that, I believe, in the notes too. So it'll be just a link to easily click on. And of course, if you're like, yeah, I'm not in business or whatnot, check out the book, 69 Ways Money is Like Sex. It's on Amazon. You just type that in and it pulls right up. I'm the only one that wrote a book like that. There is no competitor. Actually, I talked with one of the editor-in-chiefs of the LA Tribune, and she was like, the good thing and the bad thing is you have no competition.
Yeah.
Because nobody's brought those two together. So I can't have anything to compare to. But then again, someone's got to start something somewhere.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being a guest. It's been fabulous having you. And we definitely will have to look to have you back. And hopefully you found this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified helpful. And we look forward to seeing you back again on next episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.
Thanks, Jack.